Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
I don't know about you. We're sick of this rain. Can it go away anytime soon? Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hanging out at Hooters Mall of Georgia. Our residency continues. We are back here next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Tomorrow, we're going to be at Buffalo's Cafe. Bowery Branch will tell you more about that. But, Mike Bell, I'm over this rain, bro.
Dude, it's like Seattle. I spent the night up here in beautiful Beaufort.
Yes.
Man, Gwinnett is popping. But, yeah, man, had a great time last night. And
Gwinnett is popping.
And it's just, thank you, that guy's right. But, yeah, it's like living in Seattle, for crying out loud. Today the sun is trying to make a break. And, you know, granted, when I bought a house down in, you know, Coweta County, I became my dad. But I'm beyond now. We could use this rain. Enough with the freaking rain. Let's go.
You know, my grass looks fine. It's too much. Plus, the Falcons today, fans were not allowed because the practice was closed, which is something they want to do more of, obviously, but weather permitting. So they practiced inside. We got a chance to be there. And we're going to give you the 411 and the rundown on everything we saw and what happened. Also, we got a great conversation with Ryan Neusel, Mike. I like the guy. I like him. We have not had a chance to visit with him because he's been behind the scenes over the last few years working his way to this opportunity. But, guys, I think we're in good hands at the center position.
Yeah, no, it's funny. We mentioned where you're going to try to, you know, keep Drew Dahlman. He made a lot of money, more money than he'd make here going to Chicago. And that Ryan Neusel, you said it in the start of the interview. You'll hear the conversation. We didn't complain about you. So since we didn't talk about you, you're okay in our book because that's where it's all about. But, no, he's a really good young man who had to come up, you know, and grind a little bit, practice squad, get on the roster, and then stick with the Falcons. But from Bradenton, went to App State. You'll hear his story coming up. But he's been really good. And this year, the Falcons didn't have to throw any money out there because they basically had it locked in. They could match any offer. It was basically all that stuff, but in a much smaller scale than Lamar Jackson went through. Everybody was upset that teams were saying, we're not interested in Lamar. Well, the Ravens could have matched anything, as you pointed out a couple summers ago. Same thing went for Ryan Neusel. He signed a 2-year deal, and he's making some good coin, but you know, certainly it's relatively small by NFL standards, but he does the good work in a really good offensive line.
Yeah, this offensive line, I don't know where you're rated, how you look at it. We asked Jake yesterday. We asked Ryan about these PFF numbers. And again, we're not saying those guys are idiots. It's just hard to quantify when you tell me and you put a number on what a guy's value is or what his worth is. I can't tell you that because I don't see every stinking block, Mike.
Right.
You know, we see the pancake blocks. We see the ones that matter or spring a touchdown. But we don't see a guy maybe double-teaming a guy early in the game to hold off pressure on the quarterback so he can make a throw. How you grade that out? So there's a lot of stuff there. But you'll hear that conversation coming up. Also, our buddy Tony Gwynn Jr. to talk about all things MLB. The wins and losses, I'm past that with the Braves. I want to get everybody healthy, but I don't want to run any of these guys out there either. And I got into another conversation about this with, you know, Austin Riley last night with a guy who was saying, it's the dumbest thing you keep saying, no Acuna, no Riley, blah, blah, blah. Guys, it just doesn't make sense to me. And I don't know how to explain it any simpler to you that you have two of your biggest stars now on the IL. They continue to talk about Ronald working his way back, but they're in no rush. Let me be the bearer of bad news. They're in no rush to make him run out there and have to play him every day. So when they say they're working him back, Mike, that might be another 2 or 3 weeks.
Now, again, I know that we don't even think about Major League Baseball's draft because it's basically so low on the pecking order. They try to jazz things up by having it as part of All-Star Weekend in Atlanta this summer. But right now, guys, the 2026 MLB Draft Lottery Simulator, the Braves will be picking second.
Okay. Pitcher? A pitcher?
I'm just saying. I don't know much about this baseball. I'm just saying.
Hi.
Where you're sitting right now, if the Braves continue, I mean, we've never ever talked about tanking, but I mean, there's no reason to have Acuna get injured. No reason. Why should Chris Sale come out here the second to last week in September?
Makes no sense.
I mean, what's the point?
No.
You know, it just, I mean, guys, there's years you just got to say we're 17 games under 500. It's not good, and it's time now to look at the big picture. So even though we never, ever consider the baseball draft, hey, maybe there's some hot blank kid who's going to be a starting pitcher, could be a high school phenom, could be somebody nowadays.
Mike,
more kids come out of college, you'd be ready to go sooner.
You might get the next Paul Skeens.
Correct.
You don't know.
So, I mean, even when you think – and I'm appealing to the nerds out there – nerds. That, you know, if there's nothing else, there's nothing gained from some meaningless wins. Oh, so we finish ahead of the Marlins. Who cares?
Who cares? They lose last night 3-1. That's the point of the story, as Mike was talking about. Braves in action today, again, against the Brewers. But we'll talk to Grant later in the show about all of that. As far as camp's concerned, man, look, people are trying to speaking of qualifying and quantifying how camp is going. We're asking every player we get a chance to talk to, guys off the record, on the record. All I can tell you is everybody feels good about the direction of the team, and you're going to say, well, isn't that the normal situation? No, it's not. A few years ago when we were broke and didn't have any money to spend and we had street free agents all around us, everybody didn't feel like this team was going anywhere. It was in survival mode,
right?
Okay? So, no, every camp doesn't feel that way. In 2016, the year we go to Super Bowl, nobody knew that team was going to be that good. They felt good, but they didn't know. There are certain teams, Mike, that come together sooner than others, you know, and then there are championship caliber teams. Look, I talked to Baldy yesterday. He was coming from the Eagles. And I said, hey, well, how was your trip up to Philly?
That's got
to
be impressive practice.
It is, because they're Super Bowl champions, and they got studs all over the field. And he literally said, they look impressive. You don't have to be a genius to know that. So when we get this question about Falcons and how do they look, guys, everything feels good. But we will not know until week one and week two, and we start to rack up these dubs and hopefully start to get some momentum as the season rolls along. But no fans today. They were inside. The big question today, and it's funny because we just talked to Jake yesterday, was no Jake, no Caleb McGarry. Rest reasons is what they're saying. Rest is okay. Why they didn't participate in the 11-on-11.
They're veterans. Field turf does, even though they play on field turf, an extra day of field turf ain't great on the knees. So Caleb McGarry just signed his deal. Obviously, he's younger than Jake. So we noticed, though, because Garrett Chapman, also known as Fix-It Felix,
yes.
He comes up to me and goes, hey, I just walked in the facility, and I just saw Caleb McGarry and Jake Matthews walking out.
He literally came out and said
like,
that. Like
Oakley Doakley. And I love Garrett. Garrett's energy is infectious.
It is. He's great.
You know, we always sometimes we get down because sometimes the subject matter gets you down, like the Braves.
Wait,
and this
wait, wait.
And
are
that.
You saying Garrett's not an aficionado no, like the other guy?
He's just a happy – Garrett is probably the happiest guy I've ever met in radio.
He is.
He's just a good guy. That's why I say Fix-It Felix, for those who remember the Wreck-It Ralph car. So Garrett's like, what the heck's going on right there? I just saw Jake Matthews and Caleb McGarry walking out.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Storm Norton, maybe not of course if you hadn't been following the Falcons draft, or I should say the camp coverage, Storm Norton's been out for 3 days. So – hypothetically, you're going into a game. I said, yes, you and I were talking yesterday. I want to see Penix. No. I don't want to see Penix out there when I don't have Storm Norton, Caleb McGarry, or Jake Matthews. Your three best tackles can't play.
I agree.
And that's the case.
Rest reason simply means, you want to say it, guys? Load management. This is the NFL's load management. You have veteran guys that you know can play. There's no reason to overdo it, especially in camp, and you need to save them and their legs for the season. So even during the season, I know you guys are not up here like we are every week, but there are guys that don't practice every week. Sometimes veterans get time off to get ready for next Sunday, and it's just kind of one of those things. So not concerned, but that was something today because it allowed a couple of backups, Brandon Parker and Jack Nelson, to play a lot of tackle. Also, Michael Penix looked good again as far as, you know, inside the facility. Mike, they practiced inside the indoor facility today. And then we mentioned Casey Washington yesterday. He continues to make plays, man.
Yeah, man. Casey's a good – I mean, I'll tell you what. You heard the interview yesterday. Was it Andy Randy that had him on?
Yes, it was.
And, you know, we replayed it for you. And remember, this guy was, what, sixth-round draft pick out of Illinois and didn't get to play at the end of the season when he finally got on the field, had a concussion. But he was making plays. I thought Kyle Pitts had some nice catches on 7-on-7.
Sure.
And then also made some nice plays. The 9-to-5 thing continues. Penix to Drake London. It's just – it's almost like – I don't want to – I'll say it. You know, just to have fun. Get people excited. It's like Montana to Rice.
It's automatic.
It's easy. It happens.
It's automatic.
Or Manning to Harrison. Take your pick. You know what I mean? Take your guys. Marino to the Marx Brothers. And we hope that that's what it's going to be. Vertical passing. But it's amazing how smooth and the synergy they have on the crossing routes, where Drake always finds a way to get open.
Yeah. And you know, again, if you're saying, man, it sounds like you guys are saying this a lot because he's looking for him. He's trying to connect with him. He wants him to be a guy that has a connection with him. Look, every great quarterback has that guy, right? And you know, we could use Joe Burrow, Mike. You don't think they know they're going to throw the ball to Ja'Marr Chase? Stop it. you got to still stop it. So I love the fact that we're seeing that connection more and more and more with Drake and, of course, Michael Penix. It is Dukes and Bell. Guys, we're live at Hooters Mall of Georgia, 404-726-0929. Coming up, we'll talk to Tony Gwynn a little bit later on this hour, and also our interview with Ryan Newsel coming up next hour as well. We just found out we have Georgia Tech, Georgia tickets.
What?
Yes, a pair to give away. That game is Friday, November 28th at Mercedes-Benz. It is the Invesco QQQ Atlanta Gridiron Classic. And remember, not on campus this year, guys.
It's not at Bobby Dodd. I know some Tech fans kind of got upset that it was a la carte for this game from their season tickets. So either way, once you've got over that consternation, get in and listen to win, because this is going to be one of the hottest tickets, especially if we get a rematch of what it looked like last year where we went 8 overtimes. Imagine if Georgia Tech's got 9 or 10 wins. I mean, like, I know this
it's
is going to
be big.
This is tough games in the schedule in the
it's
ACC.
Be big.
But imagine if Tech is fighting for a chance to maybe go to Charlotte for the ACC championship or more, and Georgia's doing what we think Georgia's going to do. It's going to be a huge game.
I agree. And remember, Georgia Tech, for those who don't remember, was picked 4th in the ACC by the media who votes on those things. You know, and sometimes you look at that and you go, oh, I don't know what they're talking about. Most times they do. Every year we pick Georgia to win the SEC, they've done that. This year, Texas has been picked to win the SEC. We'll see if they are able to get it done. But for Georgia Tech, Mike, it's been 7th, 8th, 9th, usually in the ACC. So to have them top 4, they're going to be in the mix. But we've got tickets, so stay tuned. We'll give you an opportunity to win those. Again, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Friday, 28th of November at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Also, we'll hear from Bijan Robinson, Brandon Dorlus. Mike, we hadn't talked a lot about him. He spoke to the media today, and we'll let you hear what he talked about, you know, what he said about his approach. He will play Friday night. He's one of the guys we know that will play because, let's be honest, he needs it.
By the way, we're just talking about the Bravos. A couple of guys hitting us up already. Passionate response. And they're arguing on our side, Carl, about resting the stars.
It makes no sense.
Jeff Bowman hits us up. No relation to Mark, I don't believe. Says, agree 100%, guys. Put the young guys in. Nacho. Either he's going to be a major leaguer or he's not.
Find out.
He should play every day. Bring Waldrop and Fuentes, whoever else, back up there. Get him some experience. I'm with you. Stop treating these guys like Fabergé eggs. Get them some innings so they don't just all of a sudden it's like August and now the expiration date hits, which has happened too often for this franchise. I'm with you. He said only knuckleheads like myself will keep Truist. He's a loyal fan, but he wants to see the youth movement because he knows the season is done.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we might come across a guy that you didn't expect. I mean, look, they didn't think Michael Money Harris was going to be ready to be brought up to the majors when they decided to bring him up. He just showed that he was capable, he's ready, and all of a sudden, you know what, we need a center fielder. We think he's ready. He comes up, crushes it. Rookie of the year, you just don't know what next season's going to bring. And for me, I said this months ago, and again, I'm not throwing it out there to say, hey, I told you so, but
I told you so.
We were 15 games out. Why are you playing Ronald Acuna? Then this happens. Now Austin Riley's on the IL. All of a sudden, Chris Sale, they're talking about working him back. For what?
Right.
Snicker, stop. Double A, let's not do this. It just makes no sense. Let's start thinking about how we're going to approach this thing next year and what moves we're going to make, Mike. Because the way I look at this is Austin Riley's going to come back. He's going to hit. I'm looking at this as we know what Ronald Acuna is. We know Matt Olson, Mike, what he's capable of. Bad year all the way around for a bunch of guys, just statistically speaking. Doesn't make them bad players. Let's get the right stuff around these guys and start thinking about next year.
Hell yeah.
All right, man. Coming up. Daily downloads on the way. We got a lot more to dive into here live at Hooters. Tomorrow, by the way, we're at Buffalo's Cafe in Flowery Branch. We'll tell you more about it, give you the directions as far as the physical location so you can make your way out there and come hang out with us after camp. Tony Gwynn Jr. is on the way as well. We'll ask him about what the Braves need to address. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Well, Mike, I guess we have to educate a few of our listeners.
Uh-oh.
One of our listeners just came in, an avid follower of Dukes and Bell. He comes out all the time, man.
Jim is a great guy. He's almost borderline stalker, but he's okay in our book.
No, he's great. He shows up, and matter of fact, the rain has kind of dampened his profession a little bit this week, so he's here hanging out, getting drunk. But listen,
not many guys do male stripping in people's front yards, but Jim has turned this into a real niche up here in Gwinnett.
Well, it pays well.
Yeah.
It pays well.
Yeah.
But literally, Jim comes in, and he said, "Hey, Dukes, Andy Bunker called you out." I said, What? I didn't even hear this. So apparently, one of the things I say a lot of stuff, is that there are guys or there are teams that are on the come.
Right.
And he said, yeah, Bunker said he doesn't like that phrase or whatever. And then Mike goes, well, does he realize this is something that we say in craps?
It's a craps reference. You're betting on the come, a team on the come. Potential. You know? C-O-M-E.
But no, I did not hear it. I didn't hear
By
it.
By the way, for you youngsters out there, since and we know that many millennials, a lot of guys, you know, six guys living in an apartment right now, no one can pay for Vegas. I understand that. Times are hard.
Hard times.
I'm getting an education from a lot of people out there, young and 20-somethings. It's apparently the Great Depression, nothing compared to what Gen Z is going through.
Yeah.
But apparently these guys don't gamble as much. When you do play craps, it is the best odds in Vegas or wherever you are.
And it's fun.
Two come bets plus the point, the number, that's the best odds you will ever get other than single deck blackjack.
Oh, like on the come.
Correct.
Anyways, no, Jim, thank you. No, man, I know Bunker didn't. He didn't have any malice.
He doesn't like the phrase.
I did not hear that. But either way, you know, that's where that comes from, and that's when we talk about players or sometimes teams that we think
like, on the come.
Well, here's the deal. Ask people around the country about the Falcons.
Right?
Do they think they're on the come?
I think so.
Do they think that Michael Penix is coming? Do they think that this team has potential to be something and maybe it pans out that way? I don't know. I think a lot of people think that way. Hey, we're at camp today, man. You're going to hear our interview coming up with Ryan Neusel. I know Bunk's on his way home. He's like, I didn't say that.
We know what you heard.
We heard you.
Now, when a radio host says something and it gets back to another radio host,
it's true.
Generally, there is a degree of telephone game. It generally gets amplified. Now, Jim is an okay guy. He's okay by our standards. But then there are provocateurs.
Jim, put your shirt on.
Well, then, you know, obviously, Joe. Up on social media, yeah, I heard what they said about you, and then here we go, and just amps up and ramps up.
Well, with us, for whatever reason, it always happens this way, because it's like, Dukes and Bell said, well, we didn't say that, because we'll tell you to your face. But anyways, here's the deal, man. Ryan Neusel stopped by. We're going to talk to you. You'll hear our interview with him, and also later in the show, I think you want to hear A.J. Terrell, man. By the way, his brother is at Clemson, plays corner. Guys, his brother might be a first-round pick.
We were talking to AJ last week off the air, you and I and Day-Day. I was happening to be wearing a Florida State hat, and he was breaking my chops because he was talking, what do you think about LSU? I said Clemson's going to beat LSU. I think Klubnik is ready. I think your defense – the stories about Clemson's defense, especially their front seven
– monsters.
It's arguably one of the best in football.
Mike, they're on the come.
Well, don't tell Dabo might not like that either. But, yeah, but
– C-O-M-E.
But AJ Terrell – is really stoked about his brother who followed his footsteps up to Death Valley. And, again, great relationship. And I'll look forward to hearing the conversation.
Yeah, he's pretty damn good, man.
What's this guy's name?
Tyler.
Hey, Tyler. I've listened to enough of you.
Yeah, he doesn't have to do that anymore, does he? Are the fans still mad at Dabo?
Now,
are they?
No, I think there's people that said, look, the world is passing you by. And there was a degree of that was on point. The transfer portal is a valuable tool. I know that old school coaches, you and I used to joke around, whenever a guy was a transfer, what's wrong with him? Where's his killer instinct?
Troublemaker.
And then you look at guys like Joe Burrow, and you're like, well, not too bad. Travis Hunter, not so bad. Followed his coach. There's more than one way to get there. Then there's guys like your good friend, I've always mentioned, Kevin Sumlin.
Yeah.
Then you get the guys that transfer out that are soft. And then ruin a program because quarterbacks won't stick.
So Kyler Murray was one of them.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think in this day and age, man, it's just the resume for a lot of
Joe
these players.
And Joe Burrow really squashed that.
Well, yeah,
Russell Wilson was
champion.
Russell Wilson was a transfer.
Wisconsin, right? NC State, I believe it was, right?
Right.
Is where he was.
Yeah.
But these guys, the resume now, Mike, if you've been to three or four schools, that's just not uncommon now.
Right.
You know?
It's weird. I don't think it's ideal, but it's not. Again, it's not right. Something people raise their eyebrows over anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, man, we're hanging out at Hooters Mall of Georgia location. Big O's back at the station. Day-Day here, our executive producer. Come on out, hang out with us. We'll be here until 6. Big O, man, let's get to the Daily Download.
It's time for Dukes and Bell's Daily Download.
You've got mail. All the stories you need to know about the world of Atlanta sports. Invite Sides. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Story number 1.
So, if you're wondering about who sets the tone for the offensive line, might be surprised. We talked to Ryan Neusel about this today, and you'll hear that interview, as I mentioned, coming up next hour. But Matthew Bergeron, Mike, is the guy that not only kind of sets the tone, but is also the jokester. And so if you're wondering, like, who keeps it loose,
right?
Everybody's like, that's the dude. But I want you to hear Bijan Robinson talk about Matthew Bergeron and how he senses that he's the guy the offense, as a group, turns to get fired up.
Yeah, it's Drake and Burge. Like, Burge, yeah, like, Burge, he's bringing it. He's bringing that heat, and he's going to talk to the other team. And I told the guys, like, I was like, don't look at me. I was like, get excited when I make plays on the field. But I'm not going to talk. I'm so quiet. But with him, like, yeah, he's that guy in the huddle where it's just like, you know, when he's turned it on, like, we look at him, and then everything changes.
Interesting.
We love this guy. Again, drafted out of Syracuse, third rounder. And we've talked about how many second rounders, you know, they've messed up. But Bergeron, was he Bergeron second round? I got to double check that. But Bergeron has been so good for this team. Another guy, we rarely talk about him. You never hear his name, number called, as far as false starts, penalties. And he's got attitude, because I know sometimes the perception is defense. We said this last week. People think, like, the edge rushers, defense, those are the mean guys. No, they do a job, and they're mean. But the offensive line's got to be nasty, too, because they got to fire up and keep those guys off the running back's backs. But, yeah, man, he was a second round, 38th pick. So the 38th best player in that draft, and he's turning out to be.
Yeah, I just like the fact that now we know, at least coming from their teammates, those are two guys that are going to keep the noise, right? They're the two guys mm-hmm. that are going to be popping back at other teams if people are talking. Bergeron on the offensive line, and obviously Drake London. Now, speaking of Drake London, we've heard this from Raheem. We've heard it from his other wide receiver peers. And Bijan was talking about how Drake Mike turns into a killer on the field.
Drake's a different breed. I just don't understand how he's, like, super nice, you know, outside of the field. And then on the field, like, yeah, he's like a monster. Like, he'll cuss you out. if you get in front of him, if they throw a flag, like, he's going to talk to the ref. He's going to speak. But that's what drives us. Like, his energy, what he brings, like, I feel that. And I'm not going to talk. But in my head, I'm like, yeah, I gotta be on that level with him. Because he enforces something that we haven't seen before, and Drake can be the nicest guy, but, you know, on that field, like, he's a scary dude to line up in front of. He's a scary dude to try to take on the block too, because he's gonna try to kill you. But I mean, I love that dude. Like, he's one of my best friends, but on the field, he's the best player you want to play with.
Remember we interviewed him when he was a rookie?
Yeah.
Rookie year. And you and I said it, and we said it on the air. We said it to him. There's a quiet intensity.
Yes. And by the way, that music was not playing while Bijan was talking. That is us playing that, because when we talk about Drake, we're going to start playing this natural born killer. Everybody we talk to on the team is like, he's a killer. He's a dog, man.
And that's the thing we noticed. Now, again, unfortunately, he had two dogs thrown it to him his first 2 years in the NFL. But, you know, that's why we've got high hopes. The chemistry between him and Penix is so palpable. Mm. You see it. And then you heard from Bijan. He's got that alpha in him, and he gets it done. You got to run. Like, you know, you said it, Carl. That's what made Julio so special, run blocking. Can do it all.
Yeah. I like hearing this from his teammates. But, yeah, man, give that to me again. For those who are not familiar, that's back in the day there. What was that? Dre and Ice Cube, I believe it was. Natural Born Killers. But, man, this is what I think about. The music in the back of my mind, when Bijan was talking about it, I'm like, man, he'll cut you out there. He'll do things people won't do.
I mean, Drake London physically abused his own coach yesterday.
He did. A man that pushes his own coach down, Mike.
He said, get out of here, old man. Knocked him down. And if the throw was more accurate, he could have caught that ball with one hand.
You don't want none, old man.
That video made me chuckle, man. Again, I can't wait to talk to Rob about that. We're face to face.
All right, man. Good stuff. That is Bijan Robinson talking about his teammates, Matthew Bergeron, and talking about, obviously, Drake London. I want you to hear Brandon Dorlus, Mike. He's talking about the things that Jeff Ulbrich is trying to do. It was attacking style defense. Forget about this read and see what my guy's doing and kind of react off it. Let's go. Attack. Don't think. Let's go. That's what they're trying to do. Here's Brandon Dorlus. See, that's why they're telling us this isn't going to look like last year. Now, statistically, God, I hope not. But it's not going to look like last year, because they're asking guys to do things differently. And guys, part of this is, Mike, we know this, right? How many times have we heard coaches say this? The less I think, the more I can just go play.
Right, just react.
You know,
it's one of the things, you know, Nick Saban always says, you know, never have your hands up, hands down. And I love that line from Mike Johnson talking about, and Kirby talks about it. Yeah, I just think that this team is a really a good nucleus. You know, we joked around about me being a hype man. I'm going to be a little pragmatic. So I'm seeing some things I really like. But next week, this is when I think on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Rubber hits the road.
We can talk about here at Hooters at Mall of Georgia in Buford about what we saw in that tight. I can't wait to see these guys go up against, first off, the offensive line against a good defensive front in Tennessee.
True.
And then see what we're going to do against that O-line. And I just – that's when I'll be able to say, okay, because we're not going to get – you're not going to get anything about your starters this week against the Lions. That's just going to be the backups. And with the tackles banged up like they are, there'd be no reason to put the quarterbacks out there anyway.
No doubt. All right, man. Daily Downloads brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Coming up, Tony Gwynn Jr., Odyssey MLB Insider. What do the Braves need to do when it comes to addressing from this point on and into the offseason? And also, we'll look at the playoff picture because there are some teams that are gaining momentum after the trade deadline. Tony Gwynn Jr. joins us next.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
In Flowery Branch, guys, and they'll be wrapping up another day of camp. We'll give you all the recaps and everything that's going on. And also, we invite you to join us at Buffalo's Cafe. Great food, drinks, lots of fun. Again, the Flowery Branch location is where we're going to be, Mike. Winder Road, is that right?
Winder Highway?
Winder Highway, that's correct.
Highway 53, Jim says.
Jim's right, because Jim lives up here. Hey, man, Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to join us. He is on the way, MLB Odyssey Insider. And, you know, at this point, it is really, as I said, about – looking and evaluating what you have and where you want to go. And some of these decisions, by the way, I think they've already been, Mike. Like, Ozzy, you know, we've been saying it. It's cheaper.
Cheaper to keep her. Yeah. You say it all the time.
Well, you're gonna spend money. You know, what is it, a buyout? $3 million or $4 million, whatever it is, to save $3 million. It just makes no sense to keep him. And hopefully he comes back and he's a much better player, just like all of these guys next season. But I've said this. They're not going to. If they were going to do it, they would have did it at the trade deadline. They are not going to go away from the core of this team. And the core, got, by the way, is Acuna, Olsen, Riley, Ozzy.
Right.
Right. And then you say, well, who else is involved in that core? From an everyday player standpoint, right, you're talking about your entire infield and Money Michael Harris. Those are the guys you've invested
right.
in.
I mean, you got – it's such an inexpensive contract. $40 million. I mean, remember at the time, we're like, wow. I wonder, you know, Ozzy – now, obviously, Ronald Acuna, that seems like a beyond a bargain. Ozzy's basically worth exactly what they're paying him right now based on how poorly he's hitting. But that's why we mentioned earlier in the show for guys who are like, what is your thing with Nacho? Well, eventually, Nacho would play second base. I mean, they got a shot to put him at second to replace Ozzy. We're going to find out if he belongs in the show.
Yeah.
So let's figure it out. Let's get the – I mean, again, you've basically got 2 months now. I know it hurts for Braves fans, but you got 2 months to see what this kid can do, for the better or for worse. But Ozzy, people still want to talk about the wrist injury from last July. Well, how long is that? It takes a full year, I guess. I don't know. That's the one excuse Braves fans that, you know, I love Ozzy, but they make for Ozzy is the wrist injury, and he's still not 100%.
No, he's not. The other guy, and I don't consider him a core guy simply because he hasn't been here, is Profar. And by the way, Profar went, what, 1-for-2?
He was the offense last night.
Yeah, solo home run last night, but the Braves were 3-for-30 at the plate. That's the issue, guys. That's been the issue all season long. So last night, again, another game where you lose 3-1. But Profar, I don't include him because the guy said, what about Profar? It's a short deal considering, and he hasn't been here through the grind of these other guys and your core players that you've invested a lot of money in. But look, to get Profar for a full season, Mike, which we thought we were going to do this year, if he hits like he is now, he's going to help this offense.
Right. What was the exit velocity, by the way, on those hits last night?
Nobody cares.
Because, again, guys, for those who don't follow baseball, 30 at-bats, 3 hits, and there were just 6 strikeouts by the Brewers, which means 24 balls were in play. What was the exit velocity?
Nobody knows.
Exactly. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Bunch of crap. But anyway, yeah, this team can't hit. You know, and now, as we said, is in these dog days now of August, where we're so used to battling for something special. Murphy's batting .224. We can get into OPS if you want. Harris batting .236. Ozzy .226. Matt Olson at 259. That's about his baseball card. So Olson's kind of where he should be. And you talked about it.
But the power numbers are
woefully low.
That's the issue.
Woefully low. You combine Olson and certainly Austin Riley. Their numbers should add up to basically one good home run hitting player. That's 34, 35 home runs? Come on, that's weak.
It's weak sauce. I mean, they should be in the 35 to 45 range.
Per person.
Yes, each guy.
Correct.
125 ribbies each guy. Like, that's the problem. So, with that said, we'll see where this goes. But we'll get Tony Gwynn on here in just a little bit and talk to him also about the Yankees' struggles. They had four straight losses. Aaron Judge supposed to return tonight. We'll see where this goes. And again, I'm not worried about right now. I just want to see the Yankees get in the playoffs. Not that I'm wishing for that. I'm just saying when they do, and I just want to see what Judge does. Because all this conversation about him being one of the all-time greats, Mike, if he folds up like a cheap suit again, nobody is going to be talking about Aaron Judge in the way that they talk about any of these other greats. And by the way, think about all the Yankee greats. All those guys won chips, and they were all great in the playoffs. And that's what defines you. Either way, we'll see what happens. The Braves do have decisions to make. They're back in action tonight against the Brewers. We are live at Hooters, guys, talking about all things going around and going on with our Atlanta Falcons and around the NFL, by the way. Real quick, I got to mention this, and we'll talk more about it in 4th-and-1. You see the Rams today? They give their running back, Kyren Williams, a 3-year, $33 million extension.
I saw that.
If I'm James Cook, I'm hot.
Yes.
With Buffalo. I've been sitting, waiting patiently all offseason. I show up for camp. I'm in camp. I worked out a couple of days, and now I'm not working out. And here the Rams are taking care of their running back. Now, Kyren Williams has been a beast. He come onto the scene, Mike, and I think a lot of people didn't know how good this kid was going to be. Sean McVay has used him in a tremendous way. He's only 24, but he gets a nice extension. And I say that because Cook is waiting to get his. The Bills paid everybody else.
Right, and we talked about, who's doing more with less. Josh Allen doesn't have a lot of weapons. The one weapon he does have is James Cook. Pay the man. Catches the football. I mean, as we said, I don't know how bad he was banged up. He said he could – he told the media in their playoff loss he could have finished out that game. They don't get the ball to James Cook down the stretch.
Right.
And that was kind of dumb. Why are you monkeying around? Breece Hall for the Jets. I know Breece had a knee injury a couple years ago, but he's bounced back. He's toting the rock. So that's the guys. You look at when James Cook and when Breece Hall gets paid. So Kenneth Walker's another guy. But the one that means that should make the most money, I don't know how they value it, but he's a guy that fits everything they're trying to do in Buffalo offensively in James Cook.
Yeah.
So pay the man.
Well, what's crazy is
– and Saquon Barkley and Bijan is reset. The idea that the running backs, you don't pay them anymore, that's been blown out. That was a 2.5-year trend, and now if general managers come to their senses, maybe that was collusion. They were trying to devalue the running back position. You got to have one, and you got to pay him.
Yeah, because you
maybe
still
not
have to run
two
the ball.
Contracts, but at least one.
No, you got to still be able to run the ball, and you got to have a guy that's a difference maker. I agree. This contract, the $33 million extension for Williams, we're talking about Kyren Williams. It's the 7th highest annual salary at the position. It's a fair deal.
It's a good deal.
It's not breaking the bank, and that's what we're talking about with James Cook in Buffalo. We'll see if they decide to do that, but Mike, maybe that becomes a week one situation where he's not willing to play and they have not yet cut the check. But if you look at their offense, and we're talking about the Rams, and everybody talks about Sean McVay and the genius, all the play calling and all this stuff, Williams accounted for 43% of the Rams' total touches last season. Mm-hmm. 43%. So that was the highest in the NFL. We talk about how we're using Bijan. Look at how the Rams are using Kyren Williams. This is what we're talking about. The number of touches has to increase. He's got to become a bigger part of the offense because it opens up so much more. And by the way, I mentioned this to Day-Day because we were talking about Matthew Stafford, which we'll get into as well coming up in our 4th-and-1 segment here at the top of the hour. They are now being very cautious about Stafford and his back. And they signed Davante Adams, Mike. They're trying to get him some more weapons because the Rams feel like they're on the cusp of maybe getting to a Super Bowl again.
Now, McVay has said that – by the way, another thing that McVay did say is he wants to get the ball more in the hands of Kyren Williams in the passing game. So he did have like over 30 receptions the last 2 years, but getting some maybe trying to use him the way we've seen Bijan. And I love it. We've only seen it a few times. You and I were talking about this off the air yesterday, is Bijan out wide. And especially, when
as a wide receiver.
If Darnell Mooney isn't coming back anytime soon, and like DJ Shark, he's trying to find his way in this offense. He is not impressed. You and I were talking to D. Orlando Ledbetter. Thanks, Mike. That Shark hasn't done anything yet, and I'm wondering when that's going to happen, because that is that's an insurance policy. So far, it doesn't look good.
He's not done anything. I mean, I'm trying to think of a play, Mike, where you went, oh, nice catch. Oh, he went over top. Oh, great grab in the end zone. Nothing.
No.
I'm not seeing one thing.
No, just a couple of drops, both dry and wet. Back to the Rams. You believe in Garoppolo if they got to go with him? Exactly. You just made the face.
Well, I've never believed in Garoppolo. But I'll say this. It also doesn't mean – because the immediate thing is, well, they trade for Kirk Cousins. If something – if for whatever reason the Stafford thing goes sideways and they go, what? Guess what? He's not going to play. Mike, if you feel like you're a championship caliber team, that – if I'm Kirk Cousins and if that opportunity opened up, I'm gone. Like, I'm going to go play for Sean McVay and I'm going to go play for the Rams. To your point about having a backup that you right. can trust, I've just never trusted Garoppolo. But here's the deal. McVay knows this, and this is what he knows. Garoppolo went to a Super Bowl with Kyle.
Right.
He will do exactly what you need him to do. The problem is he's not a guy that's going to take you over the top.
He missed two throws that would have won them. I mean, maybe it goes to
the – Kyle Shanahan, guys.
I mean, let's be honest. He missed a wide-open receiver. He missed a dump. There's a crucial third down that he missed. Just basic throws. I mean, you and I remember we were watching that Super Bowl together going, Matt Ryan could make those throws. Matt Ryan could have won this game. Don't believe in Garoppolo. I'm with you there. And then, of course, in the wings, Stetson Bennett.
That's right. Oh, yeah, which we haven't seen a lot of. Right. Actually, maybe this preseason we'll see more of him. I think he played last preseason, okay. if I remember correctly. But we hadn't seen a whole lot of Stetson.
Hey, and by the way, a couple guys just hit us up. We're just talking about the Rams. Yeah, Carl just answered the question. They say they believe in Garoppolo. I would think that a healthy Kirk Cousins, Kirk is healthy, certainly healthier than he was last year yeah. at any time. It's been a full year now and obviously a few months on the Achilles. It would be whatever you could get. You get a team to pony up. If there's a team that's missing a quarterback.
Mike, give me a fifth rounder. Yeah. I don't care.
Give me whatever draft pick. And, again, if you can get them to eat $10 million, I don't think that's going to happen. But, I mean, you just try to get some of that money off the books.
Yeah. And the only reason we're talking about it is because, again, Rams' situation is interesting with their quarterback and Matthew Stafford,
but just like
who played great last
right,
year.
Just like the Justin Fields. It kind of gets – but it's on your radar, but it's not a situation where Cousins goes.
Not yet. Maybe, but not yet. 404-726-0929. That is our text line. You can find us on social media as well. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. And follow this radio station, guys, at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on in the world of sports. And follow us across all social media platforms. Plenty more NFL news and notes to get to as we count down to the first preseason game. Friday. And again, we're going to see a lot of backups. We'll see some starters. And when I say starters, I'm talking about guys that are vying for a job and competition-wise. I think a lot of that's going to happen on defense, Mike. Somebody was saying how much are the offensive guys. Look, if Penix and Cousins are not playing, you're not going to see Drake. I don't think you're seeing Pitts. I don't want to even get you guys excited because
no.
I don't think any of that is happening.
No, guys, and this is something, you know, like it's easy to crap on it. It's just the way the NFL is built. It's a 10, air quotes, 10 game home season ticket model. You pay full freight. I don't think it's not fair. But again, this is the Falcons. You can't blame Arthur. This is now again, if Arthur Blank and other owners got together and said, you know what, let's charge $25 or take 25% off of your two preseason games, that would be fair. It's what they should be doing. They're not because, again, when you buy your season tickets off the personal seat license, that's how your tickets come. In the old days, you get them all in a sheet. You'd have all your 20 tickets for those 10 games. Now it all comes digitally. It's just – it's the biggest ripoff in pro sports, preseason football.
I agree.
It sucks. It just it is what it is.
I agree.
It ain't going to change.
Well, and even if you compare it to, like, the NBA, at least in the NBA, guys do play in these preseason games.
Right.
I mean, seriously. Like,
right.
Our game, which is
hell,
fine.
The NBA Summer League is more entertaining than NFL
yes.
preseason.
Yes, it is.
Rick Kamla. Hey, man, a quick programming note, actually promotional note for Hooters. Jamie, by the way, I tweeted a picture of her at Mike Bell ATL. She's like, how many likes did I get? Well, I mean, it's a lot of engagements, Jamie, so let's pump up her confidence over here. Go to Mike Bell ATL. She reminded me tonight is bike night. Hopefully it's going to dry off up here in Gwinnett. 6 to 10, every first Tuesday of the month. Bring your hog and your old lady and come on down.
Very nice.
And, whether it's an Indian, a Harley, maybe you're a sport bike guy. Maybe you're a three-wheeler. You were three-wheeling for a while.
Trike, yes, sir.
Come on down, man. Bike night. And you got to talk like this. Bring some Copenhagen. Went to Sturgis last year with my old lady. Good times.
Do they – so all the bikes will be just rolled up? Is that why they have stuff blocked
off? That's why
off?
The cones are out there for the bike park.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's bike night. Hopefully, as we said, we get better weather because anybody who's ridden, you know what a drag it is to wear your all-weather gear. It's like playing golf in all-weather gear.
It's true.
It's a drag.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it's waterproof, but it still sucks.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I mean,
that.
You want to be out there, you got your – your hog's breath sleeveless shirt.
Why'd you grab your belly like that?
Because I'm just thinking of Harley guys right here. By the way, of which my father was one. My father had an old shovel head back in the day, and Carl knows the story. When my dad passed away, my mom freaked out, started selling things like it was an auction. And
am I going to do with this?
I'm like, but you know, don't sell. And the neighbor she sold it to was such a turd. Dad would have just killed.
She gave it away, didn't she?
She basically gave it away. It was my legacy, Carl. Not that I'm bitter, but anyway. But my dad, we used to joke around. That was a trip we were going to make before he passed. We were going to go. Mm. We were going to ride from Chicago to the Black Hills and go to Sturgis.
Nice.
And do a bike ride. But anyway,
there's a lot of good trails.
Oh man,
in Georgia, in the
Dragon's
Tennessee,
Tail, you know it.
South right Carolina, North Carolina. There's some great.
So bike night, Hooters Mall of Georgia tonight, 6 to 10.
All right, cool. How many likes does she get?
Let's find out.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.